I have marked the book of Mark in chapter 14. I invite you to open up your Bibles there as well. Mark chapter 14. We're going to read some verses here before we actually get into the heart of our lesson here this morning. So let me take this opportunity to welcome those who are able to be out with us here to help us to live stream our assembly here this morning, all socially distanced properly, and we appreciate that so very much. We appreciate all those who are watching and listening through live stream on the internet. We're very blessed with these modern means of communication where we're able to do such things. We're grateful for that, and we're grateful for your attention and your studying along with us and worshiping along with us on this Lord's Day. We've come to the part of our worship where we'll continue to honor God by preaching and teaching His Word. Peter said, if any man speak, let him speak the utterances of God, that God in all things, he closes that verse by saying that God in all things may be glorified. And I'm going to utilize a PowerPoint here to my left. And I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Bible, the Word of God, for everything I got to say here today, so you might know from where it is that we're gathering these things. Mark chapter 14, I invite your attention to beginning in verse 32, where there Mark pens for us, and they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And they said to his disciples, sit ye here while I pray. And he took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and very heavy. And he said to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell upon the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto you. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and finds them sleeping. And said of Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Truly the spirit is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came a third time, and then said, sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. And that's Mark's account of what we want to talk about here for a few moments this morning. I invite you to turn over your Bibles this time to Luke chapter 22. Go to Luke chapter 22 with me. I would like for you to read along with me or listen to Luke's account of this very scene. I read beginning in verse 39. Of Luke chapter 22, and he came out, and we accustomed to do, went to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. And when he was at that place, he said, pray that you enter not in temptation. And he withdrew himself from them about a stone's cast, and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening and encouraging him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping and asked the question, why sleep ye? Gethsemane. And that's what I'd like to talk to us about here this morning, Gethsemane. In Gethsemane is where the greatest battle of all time was fought and won, just a little ways outside of Jerusalem. The word Gethsemane means olive press, just outside the Mount of Olives. Gethsemane is located across the Brook of Kidron, near the foot of the Mount of Olives. In the Garden of Eden, the first man, Adam, through his own yielding to the wicked one, fell. But in this garden, the second Adam, conquered by yielding to the Holy One. You know, many times in our nation's history, we've been called upon to act greatly, many times in wartime. We had to raise up as we're attacked. During the Mexican-American War, we remember and we recall the Battle of the Alamo, where those brave souls were surrounded, Davy Crockett being amongst those who finally were destroyed. And the rallying cry of the American people was, remember the Alamo. On December 7th, 1941, a surprise attack by the Japanese on our naval base in Hawaii, Pearl Harbor, came suddenly where over 2,000 Americans were killed in that attack, and we were ushered into what is known as World War II. And the rallying cry, remember Pearl Harbor. Remember these things. And why would we do that? We would remember those things so that we might refocus, so that we might continue to be encouraged and strengthened in regards to our aim, in regards to what it was that we were involved with after trials and after going on and on in the battle, that we might recall, why is it that I'm in this battle? Why is it that I'm going to take the next step, that I'm going to make the next sacrifice? Remember the Alamo. Remember Pearl Harbor. And what I want us to do here this morning is I want to think about this place called Gethsemane. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to remember Gethsemane. When we're living our lives, as we think about, as Paul talks about, and the Hebrew writer talks about us running the race that is set before us, remember Gethsemane. Well, when we think of Gethsemane, what do we think about? Well, first of all, I want you to understand that it was a place of heaviness. It was a place of heaviness. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 37 that Steve read so well a few moments ago, it says, "And he began to be sorrowful and very heavy." I mean, who can tell the weight of the burden that was laid upon our Lord? In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, Isaiah there says, "All we like sheep have gone astray, and every one of us have gone on our own way. But the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all." All of our sin, the consequences of your sin and my sin and all sin, were laid upon our Savior at this time. What a burden. All the sins of the world on him. I mean, what I want you to understand is that the next time I get to thinking that I'm carrying the burdens of all the world, I want you to remember that he did. Remember Gethsemane the next time we think we're carrying burdens. But also I want you to see this. I want you to remember that it was a place of intense suffering. In Mark chapter 14, in verse 34, Mark penned for us, and he said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death." I am so sorrowful, and I am filled with such anxiety and stress that I feel like I'm about to die. That's what our Savior is saying. Our substitute, who stood between God and man. In the book of 1 Peter 3, in verse 18, Peter there said, "Christ once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God." Paul in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 would say, "For Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us," utilizing that analogy of the sacrifice of the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb and its blood that was sprinkled upon the lintels and the tops of the doors of the children of Israel, that the angel of death may pass over. So it was that by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we just reminded ourselves, he is now our Passover, covering our sins. And to be able to do that, it was meant for him to suffer. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 2 and verse 9, we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Again, Paul in his sermon in Acts 26 and verse 27 says that Christ should suffer. It wasn't good enough for the Lord to go away after a long, hard day work and go to sleep forever with a handful of sleeping pills. Jesus Christ suffered, and he suffered like no man ever suffered. In Luke 22 and verse 44, "And he being in great agony prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground." He knew what he was about to suffer, and it was not a pretty sight. He was going to be literally a human sacrifice. Jesus Christ suffered. The prophet would say, "He was bruised for our iniquities. He was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." He was in deep sympathy with the holiness of God and yet the helplessness of man. And may we today see his suffering. And when I think that I'm suffering, what I ask you to do is remember Gethsemane. Remember it. Remember Gethsemane. There's something else about Gethsemane I want to bring to your attention, and that is this, that it was a place of solemn loneliness. He told his disciples to watch. What? He would ask them. Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? The tender heart of the man of sorrow yearned for fellowship, but they could not. They slept during his agony, while his sweat, as it were, great drops of blood fell upon the ground. It was not a hot night. This was not a humid night. It was, how do you know that? Well, I know that because in the accounts in the book of Luke and the book of John, that it was a cold evening. Those who were sitting out in the evening as Jesus was in Annas and Caiaphas' house being falsely accused, they started a fire to warm themselves. Jesus Christ's sweat was falling down on the ground because of the great agony and the suffering that he was enduring. And during that time, there was no one, as we sang to one another a few moments ago, no help was found. The psalmist would say in Psalm 69 and verse 20, I look for some to take pity. And for comforters, but listen to this, but I found none. In Matthew 26 and 31, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. Peter says, I won't be. But in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 69, we see that not only did Peter deny him, but he denied him three times and began to curse and to swear. And in Luke chapter 22 and verse 61, we read, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter, the cock. I wonder sometimes what kind of look the Lord gave Peter. What I want us to understand, and the point I want us to take, is this. When you feel forsaken, when you feel lonely and sad, remember Gethsemane. It was also, ladies and gentlemen, a place of agonizing prayer. I read in Matthew 26, beginning verse 39, and he fell on the face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And he prayed the third time, saying the same six, Abba, Father, all things are possible. Abba is an Aramaic term for father that denotes the closeness and the most tenderest of relationships. It's like calling out, Daddy, Daddy, let this cup pass from me. As his sweat fell, as great drops of blood. In Luke 22 and verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed the more earnestly. Hebrew writer would say in Hebrews 5 and verse 7, he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. This awful cup contained the desertion and death and agony and suffering. The great mystery. Behold, what manner of love God has for us that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John 3 verse 1. The next time, ladies and gentlemen, you think about prayer and your agonizing prayer, I want you to remember Gethsemane. But also I want you to see this, that it was a place of entire resignation. In Matthew 26, 39, again, I point to your remembrance. Nevertheless, not as I will, Jesus said, but as thou wilt. My will, not your will, open the floodgate of sin in the first garden and turn man out of paradise. The second man's, not my will, but your will, open up the flood of righteousness upon the world. For in Adam all die, Paul would say, but in Christ shall all be made alive. In the garden and in the wilderness, while Jesus being tempted of Satan, he was as firm and as solid as a mountain. It is true that the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. But Christ never yielded to the flesh. In Luke 9 and verse 23, Jesus would say, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Denying oneself. In Romans 12 and verse 1, Paul would say, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, and don't be conformed to the world, he would say in verse 2. But by the renewing of your mind, be ye transformed. We will be as strong to resist evil in the proportion as we are willing to resign to the complete will of God. In every crisis, in every trial, in every experience, let us remember Gethsemane and say, not my will, but thy will be done. But also, it was a place of special succor. Succor, that's a word I use every day. It literally means to aid, to help, to assist, to deliver, to rescue. It is a place of deliverance. It is a place of aid and comfort. In Luke 22:43, and there appeared an angel unto him, strengthening him. The place of entire surrender to the whole will of God means that it is a place of help and comfort for every troubled soul. That's the reason why Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That strength, that special deliverance that only God can provide, can only be found in that place of special succor, where I am willing to submit my will wholly and totally unto Him. The angel of sufficiency will minister through our weaknesses. And the Lord declared to Paul, my grace is sufficient. In Christ's greatest trial, there was an angel to strengthen him. When he suffered in trials, remember he has gone this way before. The Hebrew writer would say in Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest which cannot be a feeling that does not have, cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When we resign all to Him, there is a place of special aid. And finally, it is a place of heartless betrayal. In Matthew 26 and 49, and he forthwith, he came to Jesus and he said, Hail, Master! And he kissed him. And Jesus said to him, Friend, why have you come? Betrayed by the one he chose to follow him, kissed him while the sweat was still on his brow. Christ had just taken the place of man, and all the thanks he got was a hypocritical salutation, condemnation, and death. What I want us to appreciate here today in regards to the Gethsemane is that if we're not careful, we can place ourselves in that same place of Judas. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 6 and verse 6, if they shall fall away to renew them again in repentance, seeing that they crucify to themselves the Son of God all over again and put him to an open shame. When those that claim to be his disciples do not stand as they should, they fall as they should not, we betray the Savior all over again. It's very possible for us to play the role of Judas while sitting at the Lord's table. Gethsemane. What I want us to remind ourselves of this morning was that it was a place of heaviness. It was a place of intense suffering, a place of solemn loneliness, a place of agonizing prayer, a place of entire resignation, a place of special succor, and a place of heartless betrayal. And as I remind us, as we go through this and think about this here this morning, I want us to take this home. Remember Gethsemane. When you're carrying burdens, remember Gethsemane. When you feel that you are in intense suffering, remember Gethsemane. When you feel that you are all alone, remember Gethsemane. When you are praying to the Father, remember Gethsemane. When you're praying with all your might for your will, remember Gethsemane. When you need that special help that only God can provide, remember Gethsemane. When you feel like you've been stabbed in the back and no one is there, remember Gethsemane. And keep on keeping on in serving the Lord. You've listened well this morning. I appreciate that very much. We're about to stand and sing a song of invitation. There's one that needs help to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads from this low ground to heaven above. We're here, ready, willing, and able to help at this time. Come forward now as we stand as we sing.